Turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles 5. I was reading along this morning faithfully in my one-year Bible, and I stumbled on this passage. I know when we get to these begats, it's difficult to... I don't know why they couldn't just be named Fred and George and Arnold and Harry. But stumbling along, I ran into 1 Chronicles 5, verse 18. It said, "The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword, to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 44,760. That's quite a battle. It's quite an army. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter, Nephish, and Nodab." Okay. "And they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them." And then they tell you why. "For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them." And here's what stuck out to me this morning. "Because they" what? "Put their trust in him." And all of a sudden, that really jumped out at me. I said, well, that's cool. Here's an army of 44,000, skillful in every way, probably had every reason to depend upon their own sufficiencies and abilities to battle and win this war. And yet, for some reason, these tribes, in the middle of the battle, they cried out to God. You know, in the midst of their sufficiency and their ability and their capability, they cried out to God. They just said, "Lord, help. We are helpless against this enemy." And it says, "And he entreated them." They won the war because they put their trust in him. So really, there's a revelation here. This little obscure verse in 1 Chronicles 5 is really applicable to the struggles you and I go through every day. And the title today is "Quit Striving, Just Trust the Lord." You know, so many of us, is it right? We tend to lean on our own sufficiencies. We try to solve situations in our own mind and thoughts. Right? Situations and circumstances, people, places, and things, deficiencies, surplus, whatever the issue is, we tend to use our mind, and often we find obstacles that seem to imply that to overcome is pretty significantly difficult and likely not to occur but for something other than ourselves, and yet we persist and hang on. And one of the fruits of being self-sufficient, I would submit, is anxiety. We become anxious because we realize, you know, that in and of ourselves, we cannot accomplish what we need to accomplish. So the problem is we're trying too much and we're not trusting. Proverbs 3. Now, you know, I've heard of the phrase "trust in the Lord" all my Christian life, and I know you have. But I believe there's an ever-increasing understanding of trusting in the Lord. And listen to me, I really believe it's the secret to overcoming the problems in your life, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, in a lot of ways, is a maturing. You know, I think we start out with faith. I think it was Norman Parris that once said, trust is matured faith. That faith is, you know, endeavoring something that you accept on the basis maybe of no experience, just pure faith. But trust, on the other hand, implies experiential knowledge whereby you can lean, whereby you can entrust yourself. And there's a verse of Proverbs 3:5. Y'all there? Everybody's heard of this verse. For some reason, young believers always learn this one. You know, I don't care if they're a day old in the Lord. You quote this verse, they say, "Yeah, I know that verse." Somehow the Holy Ghost leads people to this early on in their life with the Lord. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths." You know, I would submit, as simple as that is, we've all heard it. How many are really, honestly, truly are living that? That's a testimony of your life, that you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding. Did you know the enemy works through our understanding? Did you know lies and discouragements and fears and doubts and unbelief, all that comes through your understanding. In 2 Corinthians 10, he says, "Where the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." There are demonic things that constantly assaulting our mind, implying and telling us that you can't, you won't, you don't wanna, you can't ever, it ain't gonna ever happen, and we get pummeled with that. And when we're in our own understanding, we become subject to that, and we suffer the consequences of that. You know, sometimes it starts in the mind. You believe something in the mind, a thought, a concept. And as you believe it and embrace it and ponder it, then guess what? It trickles down into your emotions. And once it comes down into your emotions, you're done for. Because then your fear kicks in, worry, anxiety, old familiar patterns, panic, all of this stuff. And it all starts because somewhere, at some point, we were leaning on our own understanding concerning a particular situation. Anybody at all know what I'm talking about? Y'all looking at me like, well, okay. Is my tie on right or something? You're kind of staring at me like, you know, does that help? You know, we do these TV shows, and when I do the TV show, Sherry always, she is our camera person, and Bo is our producer. And Sherry's kind of funny because she has to put these headphones on. And well, they're hideous because she don't know who wore them, so she puts this thing. So Sherry will come up to me right before the production, the program, and straighten my tie or sit. And the problem is, you know, I'm on cable and I'm competing with what, 10,000 other cable channels, and so somebody's clipping along and they see me just a normal guy with a tie, you know, like this talking. But wouldn't you agree that if I did this, they'd stop? And I'd say, Mabel, come see. My God, this preacher, what's his deal with the tie? And they come and they get convicted. They get saved. They get delivered of demons. Either that or they laugh and go to the next channel. Trusting in the Lord, look at Psalm 37. You know, something in your brain right now, I can hear it. I can hear that thought. I heard that thought. And it was, what a boring sermon about trusting in the Lord. Come on, I got that one down. All right, let me tell you something. If you have any anxiety in your life at all, it's an indication you don't have it down. Because it says, the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And I believe God has peace for us in every context and situation and circumstance. And when we don't have peace, even in the spite of the circumstance, it's indicative of something that we're not trusting in the Lord. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Now, you know what's interesting? Some versions read, I don't know which one it is, I think it's New American Standard, NIV, it reads, feeds on his faithfulness. Anybody got that version? What version is that? So shall you dwell in the land, and you will feed on his faithfulness. Now, I love that interpretation because that's really what trusting in the Lord is. It's feeding on his faithfulness. The truth is, we are faithless. But as we know he's faithful, we're enabled to trust him. The more you know him, the more you see his faithfulness, the more you're able to trust him. I really believe it ought to be easier to trust in the Lord after you've known him a while than when you've known him less. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you first come to the Lord, I can remember being utterly freaked out. I mean, panic stricken to the point of a panic attack. Because I bought my first car, which is Volkswagen Bug, the old kind. It was 1976, and I was 24 years old, got my first car. I went in Christian community right from when I got saved, so I never really had the money for. I got my car, and I had this job over on, I lived near downtown Houston, near the University of Houston area, and I had this job off of Blaylock, off of 290, and I had to go there, and I was just working at a drafting design place, running blueprints and this and that, and I remember one morning, I went out there, and my car wouldn't start. And I was panicked. I remember absolutely terrified that I was going to lose my job. Well, it turned out the guy that hired me was one of the brothers in the church. In fact, he even lent me the money to buy the car. You want to show me how dated it was? The car was $400. $400 was the car, okay? And back in 76, I didn't have anywhere near $400, so he lent it to me, and I paid him $100 back a month with no interest. He was a good guy. But, you know, $400 was a lot of money in the mid-70s. Jeez, that's half our light bill in the middle of the summer now. Can you imagine a used car being $400? And that thing was faithful, but I remember it being panic-stricken, and I couldn't get the thing started. And I remember going inside, freaking out. I'm going to lose my job. And first, I'm going to lose my job. And then the next thought, and then I can't pay the rent. this house I'm living at, so I'm going to get kicked out of the house. And then it goes on. Then I'm going to end up, have to call my parents in New Orleans and have to go home, live there. I mean, you know how your mind takes you? And, you know, within 10 minutes, I'm already, you know, under the bridge. So I called a buddy of mine, a shade tree mechanic. He came over. I don't know, I got a paper clip, some chewing gum. But those old Volkswagens were pretty easy to fix, you know. They had a little engine. It was back under the trunk. A little lawnmower engine, I think they had on. But I mean, that was indicative of my lack of trust in the Lord. I didn't have a lot of experience of God's faithfulness. But you know, as I look back, as the years began to progress, I saw the Lord take care of me. He took care of me with that job. He took care of me with subsequent jobs. When I went on to school, and he provided, and new jobs, and he provided, took care of me. Insurmountable circumstances, and God came through. He came through. So now, good Lord, all these decades later, it's embarrassing. I mean, it really is. There's no excuse for me not to trust the Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's kind of a slap in his face. I mean, like, son, I'm taking care of you all these years and all these situations. You were freaking out. I've always come through. Why are you freaking out now? Now, you know, some of y'all, the lack of trust you have in the Lord is concerning yourself. The enemy's sneaky. You say, well, I can trust the Lord about circumstances around me. You know, I can trust the Lord about money, even though it gets tight. I know God always provides. Amen? As long as I'm a faithful giver, God's going to not be my debtor. But some of us don't trust him about ourselves. We see areas in our life, areas of failing or strongholds or areas of fear, areas of bondage, and we don't believe we're ever going to overcome in those areas. And we bought the lie of the devil that in those areas, God isn't going to come through for whatever reason, and the demon comes in and reasons in your mind. Well, the reason God's never going to come through, you're never going to get free in that area, is because you make willful choices. See? And until you make these, you do all this and jump through all these hoops, God is not going to come through for you. Boy, I got quiet when I hit on that area. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, that's where we really trust the Lord is concerning ourselves and the things we're trying to overcome in ourselves. Because we've seen ourselves being defeated time and time and time and time and time again for so long. The track record is there's no way I can ever overcome this. And God apparently is, for some reason, he's chosen to not heal, deliver, or mature me in this area. And we buy that lie. And I would really believe that if you believe that, that is a stronghold of the demons, from which the enemy works in many other areas of your life to keep you in bondage. So one thing today I hope we can get to, look at Psalm 36, just look over one, is we can put that thing at the feet of Jesus and trust him. Psalm 36, verse 7. I love this verse. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Look at this. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They'll be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. You make them drink of the river of your pleasures, for with you is a fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. I mean, those are some rich verses, some intensely rich verses about trusting in the Lord. And look at the abundance and fulfillment and return and lavish pleasure and revelation. I love this. In your light, we'll get light where there's darkness, spiritual illumination. The problem is many of us don't understand what it means to trust under the shadow of his wings. We have bought the lie that somewhere, somehow, God is not going to be faithful in this area. Why? Because we believe the demon. We believe the lie. And the lie of the demon is simply, wait, look at your track record. You've never overcome. Therefore, A plus B equals C. Now, in fact, we need to assault that straight on. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's just hit that lie straight on. Verse 3. You know, what kind of quickened this is last night, I came down with this fever thing again. And this is very it was 7 o'clock, and Sherry was off somewhere. She hadn't gotten home yet. And I went into our bedroom. I turned off the fan and the air conditioner. It was hot. And I got a wool blanket out, doubled it over, and then I got another wool blanket. Got under basically 3 wool blankets, curled up under the bed. Have you ever been, you have the chills and it's very hot? And it's 7:15 and I'm sitting there shivering. And I think, you know, what is this deal? because I was feeling pretty good during the day. For some reason, it just hit me. And while I'm laying there, I start talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is the deal? You know, your first mind is, where did I open the door? What's going on? Why is this attacking me? You know, why have I been attacked with this lately? And so my mind was meandering around. I wasn't getting anything particular. You know, Lord, show me. You know, I'm scum. And all of a sudden, while I'm laying there, the thought occurred to me, well, do you trust me in this? Do you trust me? And I went, yeah. So I said, I'm going to quit worrying about this stupid fever, and I'm just going to put it at your feet. And I'm not going to worry about it because you're faithful and you love me. You'll take care of me. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm here, so I trust you. Well, you know, I went to sleep, and about an hour later, I broke out in a sweat and pulled the covers off, turned the air conditioning on, and that thing began to lift, although it's kind of hit me back this morning again. You know, sometimes it gets down to when I trusted the Lord. When I said, yes, I trust you, guess what? Peace came. I quit striving about it, quit worrying about it. I was able to go to sleep. You know, Lord, you're going to take care of me. I don't have to sit here and figure out. You know, I think the good introspection is healthy. Go to the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? If you're not getting anything, then give it to him. Amen? If you're not getting anything from the Lord, you don't have to sit there, oh, my God, you know, and go through some, forget it, just say, Lord, you know, reveal it to me, I trust you, you'll show me, and if I'm so blind and stupid, you'll show me some way, I trust you in that too. Amen? Any blind and stupid people out there? Look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I guess he tells us what a stronghold is. Casting down imaginations. It's interesting, that word in the Greek is, listen, it's a word, logismos. It's actually the word we get the word logic from. Isn't that interesting? The margin reads reasonings. Casting down logic. Now, work with me here. Casting down logic. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what he's saying is, it's incumbent upon us in trusting the Lord to cast down logic. Because the devil works through logic. And reason, the soul, the mind. If God has never, if you've never overcome, it's like an equation. If you've never overcome at this point, ever, in this area, you've always been defeated, okay, A, plus B, and in spite of all you're trying, nothing is the better, equals C. Therefore, either God doesn't want you to overcome, God's not going to come through because you've been a bad boy or girl, or you're just not trying and striving hard enough. A plus B equals C, and we buy that lie. Anybody bought that lie before? So what he's saying here, guys, it's a spiritual warfare. You've got to cast down, you've got to assault the logic of that and say, Satan, it is written. You forgot one thing. I don't live under the domain of my soul. I live in the realm of the spirit. And it is written. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. It is written. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. It is written, I can do all things through Christ. It is written, I can tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt me. You got to take the word of God and resist the lie of the demons with the scripture. Y'all know, hear what I'm talking about? It is written. There's something powerful about it. It is written. And in spite of countless failures, regardless of that, my God is faithful. The Lord will never fail me. And the problem invariably, truthfully, is not the Lord at all. It's because we're not trusting him. We're striving and trying. That's why the teaching today is quit striving, just trust the Lord. So let's go back to Psalm 36. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Well, this is what we're going to do now. It's pretty much the end of the teaching. But I want us to do it now. Because trusting of the Lord is a choice of the will. And it's not leaning on your own experience or understanding or logic. It's just trusting that God is big enough to take care of you. God, he that began a good work is going to complete it in his day. And some of us get caught in the whirlwind cesspool of doubt and fear and unbelief, folks, for decades. And I submit, listen to this. You know what our real sin a lot of times is? It's not the thing the demon's been beating you up on. You know, a lot of times the demon's beating you up on your sin, quote unquote, whatever it is, indulgence, frailty in the flesh. You know what your real sin is? You ready? Unbelief. It's the sin of not trusting in God. That's the sin. It's a sin. It's taking the reins in your hands and trying to overcome in your own strength. And you will fail every time. That's what Romans 7 is all about. The whole chapter. You will inevitably fail every time. Romans 8 is all about bursting in a realm of the Spirit. It has all to do with trusting in Him. That God's big enough. You know, it's just a truism that as long as you focus on something, it's going to get bigger. If you focus on overcoming your sin, a molehill is going to be a mountain. A mouse is going to be an elephant. The longer you try to focus on something to fix it, but by nature, our mind is like a magnifying glass. We just magnify it, and we overwhelm by it. Get in a man. It's just the nature of man. But the key is if you focus on Him, you get to. It's a practice habit. You say, Lord, this is an insurmountable, insolvable area of defeat, calamity in my life that's been there for a long, long time. And I'm going to make a choice of the will. I'm going to put it at your feet. I'm going to trust you to overcome it. And I'm going to cease to try to overcome it in my own strength. I'm going to cease in my own strength to try to overcome this out of my own will. I'm going to trust you to change my heart. I'm going to trust you to bring up within me the desire of the new life, the new creation, where I hate that which is evil and love that which is good. And when it comes up from within, the new creation, because you're born again, it's real. Then, guess what? You have power to overcome sin. And the power to overcome sin comes from within, from the Lord rising up, not you're trying to be better. We just put out a new booklet. It's on the web right now. In fact, it just appeared on the web yesterday. David put on the web. It's called Getting God, ready, off your back and into your heart. It's a brand new booklet. It's downloadable for free on our website. It's also out there. I think that's for sale. But I mean, really, that's what the message, getting God off your back. Some of it's God's riding, and we feel like God's riding our back. He really isn't. It's the demon riding your back, calling himself God. And that's the problem. And when you get the revelation of grace, you know that he's not on my back. He loves me. I can trust him. He is more interested in me getting out of sin than I am. He is more interested in me being free than I am. I can trust my life to him. I can trust that he's going to do what he wants to do. I'm going to take my hands out of it. Now, that doesn't alleviate you of responsibility, because then you go from the law to grace. And it's like the whole principle of the kingdom of God is not keeping the law, but obeying the voice of Jesus. That's the kingdom of God, obeying the quickening or the conviction of Jesus. That's the kingdom. And then it's not out of some law, it's because quickening. And the Lord speaks, when he speaks his word in our spirit, it's easy to obey when we have the spirit. And then, because heaven is behind that obedience. Amen? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Has anyone here ever experienced victory by trusting in the Lord, where hitherto you failed? Okay, I see three hands. How many of y'all could do to earn more victory? That you've been in a striving mode, trying. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I want us to confess the sin of unbelief. Because I'm going to tell you, that's the big sin. It's the sin of, Lord, I've not trusted you. I've been trying to make this thing work, overcome, do better on my own. And you're demon bait, man. I mean, you are demon bait. The demons just beat you up. So the conscience accuses or excuses. It's always beating you up because you're not good enough, or, right? Or beating you up. I'm letting you off the hook because you've been too good. Well, let's do that. Jesus, say this after me. Jesus, I confess to you today the core sin, the root sin, the sin of unbelief, doubt, and fear that I can't trust you to help me get free from the areas I'm crying out to you for. Forgive me for listening to the lie of the demons, listening to the seduction of the enemy, that you don't love me, that you're not going to come through for me in this, that I've been bad, therefore I got to be better before you come through. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. The simple blood of the Lamb makes me worthy, bad or good. Satan, I resist you. I rebuke the lie. I renounce the guilt, the condemnation, the accusation, the confusion, and the striving in my life. I renounce you in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I put this situation at the feet of Jesus right now, and I'm going to leave it there by His grace. Now do that right now. Whatever it is, guys, whatever it is, just put it at His feet this morning. Just put it at His feet. He is faithful. He loves you with an everlasting love, beyond space and time, beyond conception. He loves you. You are precious in His sight. You're a prized possession, a diadem of jewels in His sight. And He's grieved that you don't trust Him. He wants you to be the apple of His eye. Hide under the shadow of His wing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in it and are safe. Since we run in Him, we're safe from our enemies. Jesus, Lord, we cry out to You. We trust You in spite of our own abilities. I thank You, Lord, that it's truly, it's when we're weak that we're strong. Holy Shato Sotoroma. Jesus, just lay it at His feet. Make a choice. Get out of the whirlwind of striving this morning and walk into the spirit of joy and peace and quit looking at the natural. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned. After you pray a prayer like this, it may, for the next couple of days, week or two, all hell will hit you and it'll seem like you're 10 times worse. You understand? It'll seem like you're so far behind the eight ball, you're not even on a pool table. And that's okay. That's just the counterattack. You just continue to trust the Lord. Just stand firm in the truth. And guess what? The enemy will back up. God will come through. And then you'll look back. And here's a wonderful verse. This is what happens. Listen to this. This is the promise verse. I love this verse. He says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord will inherit the earth. Listen to this. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you will even diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You'll even, God wants to set you so free, you can't even remember the bondage you were in. Not just that you were delivered, you can't even remember you were in bondage. You can't even remember the name of the bondage. Until somebody brings up and says, oh yeah, I used to struggle with that. That was a big mountain in my life. Wow, I can't even remember. You understand what I'm saying? That's trust in the Lord. This is so counter to everything the world, psychology, 12 steps, all of this stuff, alcoholics, all of it. All it does is continue the focus on the weakness. And psychology is antichrist, folks. It is antichrist. Because you never really overcome. You just have a different crutch. You understand what I'm saying? We used to go to alcohol, drugs, and what was that? Drug anonymous groups we used to go to? Is that group? CODA, we used to go to those groups, different ones, and witness because, you know, people, they go from addiction to a drug. It's just, but they never get free. And Jesus Christ said, if the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Can we sing a song, Mr. Gene? Okay, well, I'll go ahead and do it. No, that's okay. Well, let's all stand. Instant in season. Let's stand. Did we just sing that song, I Will Never Be? Yeah, because that's going through my mind. I think that's what sometimes the Lord wants us to. Let's put that up there, Mr. Soundman. This is a good song. Is this helpful, y'all? Amen? Lord, I just pray You'll seal what You've done. You'll seal the truth. Satan, I forbid You to pluck the seed out of our mind or heart. Any truth. Set us free today. I hate the power of the enemy, and I forbid You to rob this truth. Lord, just put Your angels around it. Nurture it until it gets down in its roots in the side of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You now. We go forth in Your name, proclaiming Your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.